Hi, I'm Jason, sometimes known on the internet as Udvernoki, and I'm here with...
I'm Chris, the Tingler Capel.
Hello, I'm Gabriel Shank, and you might know me as Gabez, or you might not.
And I'm Roger, and you might know me as, Mojo.
And welcome to welcome to our second or first attempt at a International House of Mojo podcast, depending on how you look
Yay.
At it. I don't know if you consider the Insecticide one a test run or not. I kind of do.
No, that's our official first one.
It was our pilot, let's say that.
Okay.
Anyway, we just connected a few minutes ago. This is the first time I know some of us are even meeting each other beyond IRC, so it's going to be really awkward and crazy and pretty much everything you expect from Mojo. I guess the first thing we'll talk about, we'll just jump right into it, is E3, because a surprising number of Mojo-relevant games are going to be showcased there. Ghost Pirates is supposed to be there. There's going to be a big Brutal Legend coverage, and Telltale will be announcing a new series, and LucasArts may or may not be announcing a Monkey Island 1 re-release. So what are you guys most excited about?
Should we start off with Brutal Legend?
Brutal Legend?
I have to say I'm bored of Brutal Legend. I'm not at all interested in it.
I mustn't...
It's about rock music. I don't like rock music. I mean, if it was about classical, I might be half interested. I think it's terribly overrated, actually.
Really?
Ooh.
That's my two cents.
I'm kind of tired of it already because of all the coverage these last months.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of coverage.
Oh, you never hear anything else.
But,
It's insane.
It is kind of awesome, though, just to see EA, like, just throwing the marketing machine into high gear for a Tim Schafer game.
I hope it does well.
I mean, it certainly deserves to, and I think Jack Black, it sounds really good as the part, and he deserves to have a big hit and everything, but I won't be playing it. But then I don't play anything, because I'm rubbish.
Wow. Do you own a console? Oh,
no.
Okay.
Well, this is the other problem, of course. But I mean, some games that I don't play and won't play, I'm still interested in. I'm not at all interested in Brutal Legend. It bores me.
But I must admit.
But, you know, I know that other...
But you don't own a 360 like or a PS3 anyway, right? Yeah.
No.
I'm still a PS3 coming out on PC. So, I'll still prefer it on PC.
I don't think...
Well, I mean,
it doesn't seem like it will. It seems like if it would be, we'd know it by now. Or if it's going to come out for PC, it'll be like way later in the game.
I'll still play it then.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to buy an Xbox just for Psychonauts, and I just kept putting it off, and that ended up paying off because, of course, Majesco picked it up, and it ended up getting a PC release at the last minute.
Wow.
And in this case... Yeah, in this case, waiting for a console paid off for me, too, because I've got an older brother who's heading to Europe, and I'm basically just inheriting his PS3. So the moral of the story is always procrastinate.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, but I sort of agree with Gabriel. Oh, if it wasn't Double Fine and Tim Schafer, I wouldn't be at all interested in it. I don't really like rock music that much. It's not really my type of game. But because I know the characters and the world and the story are going to be really fun and interesting.
Yeah, that's
coming from
that's
Tim
fair
Schafer.
Enough. Because I mean,
Psychonauts
not...
I would anyway. Hey.
Yeah.
Doubled by Tim Schafer, but that looked a really interesting and fun game. Anyway.
Yeah. So I see your point because I'm not really a big student of heavy metal, but I just know just because of the people who are involved with the game that it's just going to have like a really good world and it's but if it didn't have those names attached to it, I probably wouldn't be so, confident that it was going to end up being good.
Yeah. Still prefer it on PC, though.
I'm kind of surprised, though. Am I really the only one, like, pretty excited about the game here?
I'm excited about it.
Oh, no, Crumbs is insane about it. He doesn't post about anything else. He loves it. he's gonna have a, he's gonna have a brain hemorrhage or something. He's so
mad.
I don't know
who are you talking about?
The bad
Crumbs.
Oh,
Crumbs.
I think Crumbs posts about it because like it's the only thing we left for him to cover, because we covered everything else.
Oh no, but
that's
I
don't mind.
The tone of his posts, he's very excited about it for sure.
I am too, but yeah, it's not. But it's a tempered sort of excitement. Not quite extreme, a must-have type of excitement.
Well,
the grand...
Of course, Thrick is mad about it as well. Let's not forget Thrick.
Yeah.
So there are people who are really, really excited.
Just not the three of us. No, I'm sort of, I'm in the middle. No, well, I'm in the middle.
I thought I'd be the only one.
I'm not going to buy it on release.
I thought
day,
I'd be kicked out
try
or something
it later.
So it's the fact that it's about heavy metal that is kind of it doesn't excite you guys.
Well, it's the type of game as well. Oh, the sort of hack and slash type of thing that I've just got really, really bored with. And I picked up God of War or when it first came out, and it bored me within about 5 minutes. And everyone was like raving about it and giving like 95% and stuff like that. Yeah.
You see, I think if Tim Schafer did an adventure game, another adventure game, that would be fantastic. And I think the best things about Psychonauts was the elements that were like an adventure game. And some people said it was an adventure game at heart.
Tim Schafer said that.
The gameplay was a bit different, but I'm not seeing that.
I agree with that about...
I'm not really seeing that with Boot of Legend.
I agree with that about Psychonauts. I mean,
But I might be wrong.
I don't think I've seen enough of Brutal Legend to be able to make a call about how, you know, story-driven it is. I assume it's going to be a very story-driven game, but, you know, we've only really seen some kind of scattered gameplay glimpses, so, I mean, I would have to get my hands on it to get that. But I definitely agree with the notion that Psychonauts was kind of an adventure game with the mechanic of a Mario-Zelda hybrid. And, you know, maybe Brutal Legend will be an adventure game meets, you know, the hack-and-slash genre if Psychonauts was an adventure game meets Zelda.
Well, Tim Schafer said specifically that it's going to be more of an action game, and that even Psychonauts was an adventure game at heart. So...
But I mean,
so he's really jazzed about this being an adventure game, an action game.
The thing about Psychonauts is that, I mean, it still wasn't an adventure game by the conventional definition. It was an adventure game by Schafer's definition, in that it was story-driven, and that it had the kind of same focus on the characters and the dialogue and bringing the world to life that the old adventure games did. And I think it's still possible that Brutal Legend could have that same kind of focus, just with a different kind of gameplay. I mean, it's not like Grim Fandango was... You know, Grim Fandango still had the gameplay of an adventure game. And Psychonauts really didn't. I think by Schafer's definition of an adventure game, the mechanic is kind of irrelevant. His definition of an adventure game has just more to do with basically how story-driven it is.
Wow,
but, I
we'll
mean,
see.
We'll see. I mean, he actually made that remark in an interview I saw where he said that Psychonauts, he still felt it was an adventure game at heart, but Brutal Legend was more action-oriented. But, I mean, I still... You know the game is still going to have those Schafer characters and that Schafer, you know, sensibility to it. So we'll see.
Yeah, I'm just worried that you won't be able to interact with them. It will be in cutscenes, which will take it something away from it a bit. Not be able to walk up to them and press use to talk to them.
There won't be any character interaction. That's confirmed.
No, No, it's not. No. That's just me worrying.
Oh, okay.
It's wild speculation.
Yeah. Oh.
Don't believe a word of it. I really don't give a shit. I'm bored of this conversation. I've heard enough of Brutal Legend.
Okay.
I don't read the news.
Well, let's move on to Ghost Pirates then.
All right.
The Bill Tiller game, or Auto.
Now that is a game I'm interested in.
Yeah, you know what? When I first saw those screenshots, that like the first thing that came to my mind was that's what a Monkey Island 5 should look like. You know, the hand drawn backgrounds. I think that's kind of the game. It kind of looks like the game everyone wished Escape from Monkey Island was.
Let's not go there.
Well, I was very happy with Escape from Monkey Island.
I was too.
But, I enjoyed Escape from Monkey Island too, but I mean, definitely one of the bigger complaints people had was the fact that it was in 3D, specifically 2000 era, you know, low target specs 3D.
Yeah,
but I thought,
mind you, so was Grim Fandango, but yeah.
I thought the escape was...
we could get into this all day. But Ghost Pirates looks really good.
I don't think we know quite enough about it yet, but we're sure it's going to be good.
Yeah. Well,
well, I don't know. I mean, the danger is that Bill Tiller works on it for the next 4 years and then it gets canceled or something like that.
That I think we'll talk about more of that with the vampire story too.
Yeah, because
should we move on to that? Because I've got worried about that suddenly.
Like, I don't understand why the Vampire Story 2 does not have a publisher. Was Crimson Cow never committed to it? I mean, I know that...
Does Ghost Pirates definitely have a publisher, though?
Yeah, DTP was officially announced to be publishing it.
Oh, okay.
And I assume that Crimson Cow was publishing A Bat's Tale, but apparently it's without a publisher, so I don't know if that
I know,
means...
that's weird, that.
I mean, I know the game is well into development, so I don't know if that means that Crimson Cow just isn't publishing it anymore, or if nobody was ever publishing it, and Autumn Moon was just working on it out of its own pockets. I don't really like that. It seems like they're kind of working...
No, it's worrying.
Paycheck to paycheck, so to speak.
Yeah, it's definitely worrying. I didn't realize that one of them was being published, Ghost Pirates, and not A Vampire Story 2.
Yeah. So I don't know what happened there.
Well, I don't know. I mean, that's I would have thought that was speculation, actually, because, I mean, are you basing this on the latest press release?
A Vampire Story 2 is definitely not got a publisher. They said it themselves.
Yeah, they said that point blank. They're looking for a publisher, yeah.
In fact, the Adventure Gamers interview, they actually advertise, basically, saying, if you want to publish this, please contact us.
Yeah, I really don't like
that. So, what happened with the first game, then?
I think you...
What's that?
So, what happened with the first game, then? Why aren't they publishing the second one?
What?
Yeah, I don't know if the first game didn't sell well, or if just Crimson Cow was never signed on to do the sequel, and Autumn Moon is just looking for different prospects. I don't know what we're supposed to take from that. I mean, I assume first game did decently.
It just seems a bit weird that they're planning a trilogy and don't even have a publisher for the sequels.
Yeah, he wants to make at least four games, and I'd love to see them, but it sounds like he's just kind of hoping that he'll be able to find a publisher.
Well, I really don't like this business strategy. I mean, Ron Gilbert's going to be doing the same thing with Deathspank, of not completing the story straight away and sort of assuming there's going to be sequels to finish off the story.
Did he say that?
See, I don't think it's a business strategy. I think it's a writing strategy. I think people get carried away when they're creating a story and they can't fit everything in. They can't tell the complete story in one game, so they get excited. I think Bill Tiller's got excited and he said, oh, you know, this is going to happen in 3 and 4, and everyone does it. Who creates these things, but it's I'd be surprised if we got to 3 and 4. I don't think it'll happen.
Yeah, but I mean, even if you have ideas to make, even if, you know, in a perfect world you'd love to make 5 of Vampire Story games and you have these, you know, you have this big epic story in mind, you still kind of have to be sensitive to the fact that it's an adventure game and, you know, it might be hard to find a publisher. It just seems kind of like, you know, I think the fans deserve to get the complete story eventually, and it seems like Autumn Moon is kind of banking on the fact that, banking on the possibility that they'll always be able to find a publisher for these games. Because
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't think there is a complete story, really. I mean, I think he's got this idea in his head, this vague idea of a story.
Maybe,
arc.
But
that
may be true, but I mean, the first game still ended in a cliffhanger. So, I mean, he assumed that the sequel would get made.
Well, of course it. Yeah, but this is just how a writer works. They always want to make people read the next thing or play the next thing.
Yeah, but you have to know for certain that there will be a next thing.
But, like, let's say...
Otherwise that frustrates me as a player.
Say that A Vampire Story 2 falls apart and it never finds a publisher. You're just left with the first chapter. Because, I mean, you can make a story that is open for a sequel, but still stands on its own 2 feet. I mean, A Vampire Story 1 is, I guess in some way, a complete game, but it still just drops off, you know.
Or it just releases the rest of the videos on YouTube, like a certain other publisher.
On Crackbot doing
So I was thinking Insecticide Part 1 coming out, and now we're probably not going to get Part 2.
Well, the weird
then
thing
about Telltale were Bone 1 and 2 as well.
The weird thing about Insecticide is that the entire game does exist in Nintendo DS form. Like, the whole story is there, but the PC version was just the same game, but with, like, you know, better graphics and, you know, more cutscenes. So that's
and
kind of
two
a weird.
Parts.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. It's like, the game is apparently finished, or at least close to it. Because, I mean, if you play Insecticide for the DS, you've played Insecticide, you've seen the whole story. The PC version is basically just that, but better. So it's just kind of sad to see it just kind of end after 50% on the PC, because that was clearly the version to wait for.
Oh, it's crazy stuff. I mean, it's who is it? Larry
yeah,
Aho,
and,
or however
and,
you say
and
his
Mike
name.
Levine,
that,
yeah.
Right, well, Aaron's moved on to Vampire Story.
Yes.
Well, he's helping with, he's not officially on the staff.
Yeah, I don't know I don't know if that means he's actually working for Artemoon. I assume it's contractual, but I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
So
right.
That just kind of sucks, really. I mean, I don't understand. I mean, we actually discussed this in the first podcast. I don't understand why that game wasn't developed for Wii. And DS just seemed like such an odd platform for it. I guess at the time the Wii was new and the DS has the bigger install base, but I mean, the game is perfect for the Wii.
Maybe someone paid them to develop it for DS, like Nintendo or something, instead of the Wii.
Probably.
Well, it's the publisher, really. This is publisher logic we're looking at here now.
And, I mean, maybe it did make
sense. It's the same with Double Fine and Brutal Legend, and this is down to publisher choice.
You know, it might have made sense from who was the publisher, Gamecock's perspective in late 2005, whenever this was sorted out, but it, you know, looking at it now, I mean, it was so obviously should have been a Wii game, because it's, you know, it's in real-time 3D and therefore kind of a bad fit for the DS, but it's not like super heavy tech stuff. It's and, you know, the point-and-click interface would have lent itself really well to the Wii, because it's a direct control game and point-and-click interface, so with the Nunchuck and the Wiimote, it would have been completely perfect.
But we've covered that enough in the first podcast.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm really excited about A Vampire Story 2.
Let's move.
And, you know, I hope all the sequels do get made. I just wish it wasn't so uncertain.
I can find A Vampire Story a lot more easily in my local game store. Both of them, in fact. Both game and game station than I could Psychonauts when that came out.
I've never seen A Vampire Story available in Norway anywhere. It's just not available at retail.
In terms of sales, though, I can't imagine it flopped. I mean, I don't know what the expectations were, but I mean, you can sell an adventure game in Germany, and I mean, selling an adventure game in Germany that you can advertise as being made by the old LucasArts people, it just seems to me you can at least make your money back. But I mean, I don't know.
Oh, and it's about vampires as well.
Yeah.
They love vampires in Germany, don't they? According to Sam and Max.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what my entire knowledge of
the
Germany
logic
is from
flawless.
Sam and Max.
Yeah.
Mm. And just from the...
I mean, of course, we just don't know. I mean...
Yeah. Mm. As a game, though, I'm really excited about A Vampire Story 2. You know, the first game had flaws, but I thought it was a really great game overall, and I mean, it can really only get better. So, I mean, I'm really looking forward to A Bad Tale.
Yeah, they tighten up the writing.
I don't like that title much. I'm not a huge fan of the title.
Yeah. Another thing is...
Does anyone else think that's a bit rubbish?
What, the title?
It's meant to be more from, Broderick's perspective. Literally.
But it's a reference to something, isn't it? Bat's Tale?
Probably.
Oh, Winter's Tale is what I'm thinking
of. A lot of things, I think.
It's probably not anything to do with that.
Another thing I find kind of about Autumn Moon is the fact that they've had all these games in development. Like, Ghost Pirate just kind of came out of nowhere, and it's supposedly going to be out, like, in early 2009, and A Vampire Story 2
the robot one as well, haven't they?
Well underway. Like,
the sci-fi one as well, haven't they?
Yeah, it's like they've got like 10 people or less working there.
Oh no, the sci-fi one.
The sci-fi one is not in development.
I don't think the sci-fi one is going to get made.
That was just a concept he was.
I don't think that was ever announced either.
Yeah, I think that was just something Bill put on his blog. He said, "Look, I drew this piece of concept art for some hypothetical game I may make someday." But I mean, what I'm getting at is that it took Autumn Moon like all these years just to get set up and make Vampire Story 2, and then suddenly they've got like two full-fledged adventure games like almost done, ready to release next year.
I don't think they're almost done, though. I'd be very surprised if they're released on time. I think it'll be a few years.
I think...
Because A Vampire Story, he said, oh, it's coming out next week.
Right.
Like every other week. Or, I mean, I might be wrong.
That's true, but I think just...
Vampire Story also
I still find it just weird that so much stuff is being worked on at once. I mean, just even having simultaneous games in development, I was under the impression that Autumn Moon is just a really small studio.
Even Double Fine doesn't do that.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, that's true.
I'm guessing that the biggest hurdle was getting the engine running, and they're just using the same engine for all their games, and maybe, you know... It certainly sounds like for A Vampire Story, the art was always way ahead of the tech. So maybe it's just that. Maybe now that the engine's up and running, they can just pump these things out. I don't know.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, that's what Telltale do, of course.
Yeah.
They pump them out. Oh, game
assessment. Speaking of which, should we move on to Telltale?
Sure.
Their mystery new game.
What's their new bloody... I mean, bloody hell, they've got about 100 games on the go, don't they, or something? Sam and Max, Wallace and Gromit, actually, there's only three.
Oh,
because I suppose Strong Bad is...
And a rumoured new poker one. Telltale Techs have sold them in two.
Oh, of course, yeah.
If that counts.
Maybe that's the new license. That would be disappointing.
Oh, yeah, I hope not. Yeah, could be. Because they have sort of underplayed this.
Everyone's thinking... Everyone thinks it's going to be Monkey Island. I say everyone. I mean, there's a few people hoping.
I mean,
it could.
Literally isn't.
It could be Telltale Texas Hold'em 2, because they have already underplayed the fact that they're announcing a new game. And when it was Wallace and Gromit, they made a big deal of it. But here, there was just one line at the end of a press release.
What did you guys think of Wallace and Gromit, by the way? I mean, I know Rogers reviewed it. But what about you guys? You guys have played it?
I haven't played it. No, I looked at some videos though.
Oh.
And it looked it looked a bit too interactive movie. You know, there was I mean it looks like the gameplay isn't
it's proper adventure game. It is definitely a proper Telltale adventure.
You know, it's weird.
Puzzles are really good.
A lot of people would say interactive movie is like a bad thing, but I think if you told Telltale to play like an interactive movie, they'd say, "Well, that's exactly what we were going for." I really enjoyed Wallace and Gromit.
I don't think they would actually.
They wouldn't. Well, you don't
think so?
By interactive movie, I think everyone's talking at the same time. Go on, Jason. What were you going to say?
Well, I'm just saying. I mean,
they've
used the term interactive film or interactive cartoon more than anybody, and it seems like it's kind of what they're trying to do. But for some people, it's a bad word. I just find that interesting.
Well, you see. Right. Well, I mean, what I mean is there was a whole genre of these games in the mid-90s, I think. Do you know what I mean? Like all the FMV CD shit.
I know what you mean. It's not like that.
And I think
it's a proper adventure game.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure.
But I think
they're against that.
I like the Wallace and Gromit games. I mean, they definitely feel more cinematic than Sam and Max, and I do kind of like where Telltale is going with it. But it seems like some of the more hardcore adventure gamers are kind of bemoaning the fact that the games are kind of more focused on the experience than they are about being all about puzzles, or specifically hard puzzles.
Well, I think the first one was decent, and in terms of puzzles, I got stuck on it a couple of occasions.
Yeah, I got stuck.
The second
stuck
one
too.
Less so. The second one was a bit easier, has to be said, especially the beginning and the end, which I solved within 2 seconds without actually doing anything or working anything out.
I really think, though, that all of Telltale games have been pretty much on the same wavelength in that regard, and like the amount of puzzles and the puzzle difficulty. I mean, I think some games may have kind of
ended up
easier or harder.
Wallace and Gromit are easier.
What's that?
I would say that Wallace and Gromit is, this just appears much easier to me. Every puzzle I try to solve, I just solve it on the first try.
Second one in particular.
The interactive movie thing, I think, was more... it seems like the animation is more elaborate, and they use more animation and more lengthy cutscenes, and it seems like they're focused more on that than actually making the game a decent length. And there's also the limited amount of locations. Like, the second game only has basically the house outside the house, and the street with one person in it, so it's not that many objects to interact with.
But I also think that length is just dictated by how long it takes you to solve puzzles. I think in general, like, in terms of content, in terms of the amount of puzzles, in terms of the amount of environment, in terms of, like, the scope of the story, all of Telltale's episodes have been kind of more or less the same. I think when some people find a Telltale episode, like, a little bit longer, a little bit shorter, it's just because maybe they personally, you know, were able to solve the puzzles faster, or maybe the game just kind of happened to end up that way. But I kind of sense that Telltale's always sort of going for the same basic size with their episodes.
The only real problem that I had with the Wallace and Gromit ones compared to Sam and Max and Strong Bad is that it's just not as funny as either the Wallace and Gromit films or their other adventures. It's nice, it's charming, but it's not really laugh out loud at any point.
Wait, you're saying compared to Sam and Max or compared to the Wallace and Gromit, like, both. Films?
Both.
Oh, both? Okay.
Yeah,
well, that's
definitely
interesting.
The films elaborate, though, in their jokes. Like, all the visual gags and stuff like that, I couldn't make that in the game without making them much larger.
Yeah.
And it would also.
Yeah, it's much harder sell.
I'm not as exposed to Wallace and Gromit, but from what I have seen of it, the games seem pretty faithful. I mean, it's certainly a much different brand of
faithful,
humor
yeah.
than Sam and Max or Strong Bad.
Faithful, definitely.
I would say it's as close as it could be on the Telltale, kind of, how they make their games.
One
so
thing I can't... carry on. Oh, sorry, I was just going to say, the one thing I can't complain about, which I was worried about most is the Britishness of it. Which I was worried, because obviously Telltale being American, and Americans doing British-style comedy usually ends up groan-worthy. But this is pretty much perfect, in terms of style.
Oh. Yeah, I really like the atmosphere of the games, whatever that word really means. I mean, when I play the episodes, it just feels like it's really in a live world. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know how accurate maybe the comedy is or anything, if it feels a little off compared to the shorts, but, like, when I play Wallace and Gromit, it definitely feels like the opposite of, like, a soulless license tie-in, you know? Like,
certainly not soulless, no.
Yeah, like, you definitely get the sense that they're trying to, like, be true to the license. They're not just trying to sell an adventure game with the Wallace and Gromit characters. Like, they're definitely making an effort to make it, I guess, true to it.
Yeah. Definitely works out. But...
So, no speculation on what the mystery series is?
Well, I'd love to say it was something like, say, Futurama or Monkey Island or Maniac Mansion or South Park or something like that, but it's going to be Outer Texas Hold'em 2, isn't it?
But that's not really a series. I mean, I think if they're making a second poker game, that's just going to be a sort of one-off casual game. That's kind of an interesting topic, too, because, like, over the years, Telltale would always say that, like,
I hope it's
in
not.
Between their... What's that?
I hope it's not.
You hope it's not one-off?
I hope it's not hope it's not Texas Hold'em. I hope it is a brand new series. Well, yes.
Yeah,
if it's not
I think
it's going to be a brand new one. If it's original.
Yeah. I think if a Telltale Hold'em 2 comes out, I think that's just going to be its own thing, separate from the whatever this series is.
Possibly.
That's my suspicion, anyway.
The only reason I think it is because the way they've downplayed it and haven't really gone for announcing too much or hyped up or anything.
There was an interview Gabriel did with Dave Grossman back when he went visit California and had his adventures there. I think it was right after Sam and Max Season 1 came out, Dave Grossman alluded to a casual game that they were going to release between Sam and Max Seasons 1 and 2,
and
it never actually happened. It seems like they've always...
I made up most of that interview. I took notes with my little scraps of paper. I didn't have a dictaphone or anything like that, so I just kind of had to make up. I did the same with the Bill Tiller interview, and he posted a comment saying, "Wow, I didn't know I actually sounded like that." Well, here's the thing, Bill, you don't. I just made it up. But I don't know. I mean, he did. There was some talk about a casual in between game, which I think they just farted out.
That definitely wasn't the only. If you made it up, it definitely wasn't the only reference to it. Like they would say that they would they would try to pump out kind of a casual game when they were kind of on the downtime between their larger series, and I got the impression that it wasn't just going to be poker games; it was just going to be any kind of casual game, but maybe something more character driven. Than the norm. I guess they tried to do it Texas Hold'em.
I do suspect that if it's not the poker one, it could well be their first original one. Their original IP. Mythical as it is.
We'll see.
Yeah. Or another CSI.
CSI slip on the video.
There is going to be a new CSI, or at least it seems like there's going to be, but that's obviously not a new series.
It's not Sam and Max, though. That's the only thing they did say.
I mean,
right.
Unless they make a CSI New York, because that would technically be a new series.
clever! I'm not though.
So they're possibly making a new poker game, a new CSI game, a new license, and Sam and Max season 3. Is that right?
That is still coming, presumably. Yeah, presumably.
But that's quite a lot.
They promised Sam and Max in the beginning of this year, but that didn't happen. So
yeah.
Well, they're at the point apparently where they can have two teams working on two complete series simultaneously, and we don't know what's been going on. I mean, something was surely being worked on while Wallace and Gromit was being made. It's plausible that they could have that many games being worked on, especially considering how streamlined their production processes apparently are. So we'll see.
Let's hope for Sam and Max, though. I'm getting worried about that. Those poor guys now.
I thought Sam and Max were supposed to be shown. Wasn't there some mumblings about them being at E3? Not necessarily being the big announcement, but that they would be there?
Not at all.
Oh, okay.
Well, not I, not. No, they said they're doing a new series, but they have made no mention of Sam and Max.
There was some article where season 3 was mentioned, but I don't remember what it said, so I'll just shut up about that.
I think it's just mine saying that it's definitely not Sam and Max season 3 being shown. Anyway, speaking of things that are soulless, should we move on to LucasArts?
Staff of Kings is going to be the first.
That was a great link.
Yeah, Staff of Kings is going to be the first LucasArts game I own since Armed and Dangerous, I think. So that'll be interesting. You know,
it's also the first one with Henry Jones, according to the press release.
Oh yeah, the first game in which Henry Jones is playable, except for Last Crusade and all the other games.
Lego Indie last year.
Well, yeah,
it does annoy me.
I had intended to buy the first Lego Indie, but I kind of put it off, and now they're making the Complete Adventures thing, so I'm just going to buy that, I guess, at the end of the year.
We all knew they were going to do that.
Yeah, it's kind of sad that you can predict that so accurately, but... but what do you guys think about Staff of Kings?
I think it looks okay, actually. I mean, the still screenshots were shit, but when it actually is in motion, it does look better. And then so does Vomit. but it looks like quite a fun little game, with these little aeroplane segments and stuff like that. I didn't know what was going on. It does annoy me with Henry Jones using a pistol. I think he's a pacifist, isn't he?
Yeah.
He never uses a gun in the
film. An umbrella.
He's shooting away.
Well, I didn't think it was possible.
He uses an umbrella. He uses his
brain. He's shocked by Indy killing people.
I didn't think it'd be possible to make an Indiana Jones story.
And did you see the video?
Yeah, it doesn't look like it doesn't look like they kind of accommodated his personality very well. They just kind of put a Henry Jones model and had him do all the physical stuff that regular Indy could do.
You see, I don't think you'd be able to do something like that with Star Wars. I think they had to be very careful with Force Unleashed to get everything approved by Mr. Lucas. Mm. But I think anything goes under the Indiana Jones license.
Well, you know, and I agree with what you say. I think the game looks promising enough. I mean, it's obviously not going to be anything mind-blowing, but I think if your expectations are a reasonably fun indie game, it looks like it should deliver on that. I think what made the game so kind of discouraging in the first place, before even the screenshots came out, was just the fact that it was the third-party, low-end port of a game that was canceled. And that's just not a promising start.
That was made in a year.
This was something originally intended to be kind of the low-budget, you know, project that would just to get the game on all the other platforms when the main versions were the internal ones at LucasArts for the 360 and PS3. And then when those got canceled, they were just like, well, we've got these games made, so let's just release them. I mean, obviously that doesn't necessarily mean the game is bad, but it's being given more priority than it was originally intended to, and I'm wondering what the effects of that are going to be.
I mean, they're all but denying that the 360 PS3 version existed anymore, and saying, well, we meant to do this on Wii all along, because it's obviously perfect for it.
They did admit that it was cancelled.
Briefly.
They didn't admit why. They just said that it wouldn't be ready for this year, so they just cancelled it. But,
yeah.
We'll see.
Even if Staff of Kings is shit, it at least got Fate of Atlantis in it, so it's not a total loss.
Anyway. Yeah. Right. And hopefully that's...
That's good, but it's sad. But, yeah. It's the only thing that we're most looking forward to, the game that's 15 years old coming. They might as well just call it Indiana Jones and the Fate of Atlantis with unlockable Staff of Kings.
Yeah. And hopefully it's a sign of more ports of their old scum games to come, too. But, I mean, I'm going to give Staff of Kings a fair chance. I mean, I'm not going to go
even
in expecting it to be incredible.
Yeah, me too. Like, but
I don't particularly...
That's the best advice for anything in life, really, isn't it? Go in thinking it's going to be shit, and it will probably be amazing, or in comparison to what you probably think.
Yeah,
it
but
be.
I think
mean,
it's...
Just think everything's shit.
Yeah, but it's pretty
life
clear that you have to go into this game with much different expectations than maybe you would have if the 360 version would have actually come out. I think it's just a different game. Like, a game with the same story and maybe the same general idea, but obviously a game with a lower budget. And, I mean, I don't know what else. Now, I didn't
there's
play
a couple
the...
of...
What's that?
Oh, I'll just say there's a couple of just small things. Well, generally small things about it. There's just really pissed me off. And a few other... One is the absence of the satchel, which is just baffling.
You know, that seems like a nerdy observation to make, but you're right. It's
part of
weird,
his
union. Especially since,
even
like, it's in
the
all
logo
the other versions.
Has a satchel as well in their videos for him. That's the hat and the satchel. It's just part. It's same with the jacket.
Yeah, that's really weird.
And the second thing is calling the Nazis Germans.
You know,
in an Indiana Jones game.
I think that's kind of stupid, but I can get over it as long as they don't change
word
Nazi in Fate of Atlantis. That would be ridiculous.
That as well. I bet they
especially
will.
Especially if it involves re-recording dialogue. I agree. I doubt they will either. But
I think they will. I think they will. If they're making such an effort to remove it from the main game.
No, I don't think it's a matter... Because it would take effort to change Fate of Atlantis. I think this is more...
Well, I don't think
they
say
to...
it out loud.
Indy definitely says.
Oh no, they do.
Nazis
no,
allowed,
they do.
Definitely.
Yes, they are. Yeah.
But
so why are they changing it then? Is it still because of Germany, or?
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. I think the lack of effort is
I don't
the
entire
think it point. Is. This way, they don't have to make two versions. They can just make the one that they can make the PC one for Germany, and they don't have to localize it. I guess.
I don't know. I don't know if it is. I don't quite know the reasons, but I don't think it's just laziness. I think it's they're generally worried about it being PC.
You really think so?
It's a stupid form of PC, but I don't know if they're worried that kids are going to start looking up what the Nazis did, and I don't know.
Well, I don't know if I believe that.
Going to learn something about history.
Well, that would be awful.
I don't know if I believe that, but if that was
what
true,
the Nazis did,
that'd be terrible.
It's insane.
I mean, if you can't make an Indiana Jones game in which you can call the Nazis Nazis, then don't bother making an Indiana Jones game, because that's, I mean, they're kind of an unremovable part of the entire franchise.
I mean, it's...
But it's incredibly insulting.
I mean, he fights Nazis.
Incredibly offensive to Germans.
Yeah, it's more insulting to call them Germans, because Nazis are a nice little bogeyman. But calling them Germans makes you racist against Germany.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if they were...
It's incredibly offensive to everyone.
And I don't think the excuse of it being censored in Germany and them not bothering to do it works, because I can understand for there not being a swastika in it.
Well,
but
you'd have to...
Just, they have to change the lines anyway to German.
Yeah, they would have to repaint all the textures and re-record any...
Yeah, I can... Well, no, they're re-recording the dialogue anyway, aren't they, into German?
Well, so I don't even know how much dialogue is in this game in the first place, but I guess...
I can understand them not having a swastika in it, but not actually calling them Nazis either.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure that the swastika's illegal in Germany, but I don't. I mean, it's not like any mention of the Nazis is illegal. It's
I think
quite,
it is, actually,
you know,
to be
not
honest.
Like that at all.
They did actually have recently get a law in
sure
Germany, so it's not completely illegal.
But, yeah.
I mean, surely you can mention the Nazis in a, you know, in a book or whatever, can't you?
I don't think you can.
But the point is,
even
if you can't do it in Germany, it doesn't make any sense to release an Indiana Jones game in America where you can't call the Nazis Nazis. I mean, we all know that these are the 1930s pulp serial versions of Nazis. They're just the kind of faceless bad guys that you kill. I mean, I guess that's not necessarily politically correct, but it's simply a part of Indiana Jones. You can't get rid of that. But
I mean, everyone who's played this game are going to see have seen the films.
Yeah.
So, where's the problem?
I know, it's crazy.
I really don't think it's an issue of PC though. I think they have to do this in Germany, and they just don't want to bother. They just don't care.
But they have to change it into German anyway, so there's no extra effort involved to change the word Nazi to what's German for German.
It might be an effort to change all those iron crosses, though.
That's insane. Well, like I said, I can understand the swastika not being in it, but not actually calling them. But the voice work has to be changed anyway, so you might as well just call them Nazis.
Well, I guess we'll see when the game's out what kind of references they make. But
in the video, they call them Germans. I know that much. The producer specifically calls them Germans several times.
Well, I mean, maybe that's just the producer. I mean, he says a lot of bullshit, let's be honest. He talks about 100, but he says a lot of...
I can't remember where actually he said it, but I think it might have been on the LucasArts forums themselves. But,
so,
in an interview somewhere, maybe with IGN or something, but I've definitely read it officially.
Well, the bottom line is, your major gripes of the game so far are the lack of a satchel and the lack of Nazi references.
Like I said, they are, but they're relatively small things, but as Indiana Jones go, they're just odd things to miss out.
Yeah, I understand. I was going to say
Was there a satchel in
Infernal
Machine?
The look of the game, that glowy, misty to it.
Wow, this is the Wii thing, unfortunately.
I don't mind that.
I don't mind it too much either, to be honest. But it's the Wii thing.
It looks like the...
Why is it a Wii
thing? That's the way they do it. Because they do it for PS2 first, and then they sort of smear Vaseline over it to make it look a bit better on the Wii. That's what they usually do when they're porting games to both platforms.
But how does that look better, is what I'm asking. Like, what?
It doesn't. That's the problem. They're just misguidedly doing it.
Yeah. That's what it seems like to me, too, that they're just putting all these smoke effects and these, you know...
Yeah.
That I don't know how to describe it. It's just that foggy, glowy look that just doesn't look like Indiana Jones to me at all. But then, that's how the fourth movie looked, too. So, maybe it is just me.
Yeah.
I just can't stand that look for an Indiana Jones story.
I looked at the Indiana Jones comics recently. Have you got this comic book?
Very probably. Chris.
It was really primary colourish. I didn't like that at all. I'd much rather have it drab than too colourful.
Well, they are in general. They're mostly aimed at very young kids, though, to be fair with those ones.
I think being colourful is an important part of it. Just because it's colourful doesn't mean that it has to be, like, bright. I mean, I think there should be an element of grit to it. But, I mean, if you take a picture from Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, and you take a picture from Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, the Temple of Doom still is going to look contrasty, and, you know, there are going to be these colors to it, and it's going to be sharp. And the Crystal Skull one just has this processed, just digital look to it. Like, and with all these digital bloom cameras. Filters, it doesn't look like the other movies at all. I mean,
what am I talking about? I think it was Kingdom of the Crystal Skull was famous for Spielberg digging out the old cameras just so they could have it looking vaguely similar.
I think from a cinematography, I think from a composition perspective, it did look old-fashioned and like the old trilogy. But in terms of like the lenses and like the actual color, I mean, I don't know what kind of filters they used on that movie, but it was just incredibly overbearing, and it didn't look right to me at all. And it looks like Staff of Kings is mimicking that.
It looked like through a digital process afterwards, like it being cut digital instead of on film, and that gives it a very different look, I think. Because they add all these kinds of color and palettes and stuff to it.
It wouldn't surprise me if it was just camera filters, too, because the cinematographer on that movie, all of his movies tend to have that look to it. It's like all the light sources are really bleached out, and I don't know. Maybe it's an incredibly silly thing for me to get so irate about, but it just really bothers me.
I thought we're doing quite well, because, the game's doing quite well, because the only thing we bitched about had nothing to do with the game itself. Graphics.
We don't know anything about it. We just know that you can interact with the environment apparently in some way, and that there will be a storyline. That's all I really know about it.
In game terms, just from what I've read, in magazines, behind the scenes, in rumors, etc., I'm worried that it's going to be very, very linear. Almost to an on-rails extent. And there's... This is just from a small review I've read in Empire. They suggest that there's little to no exploration value. Even worse than Emperor's Tomb. That's my only worry. I don't hold much credence to the Empire review, because it was just a tiny little thing and the first review released.
Well...
Did they give it a score?
Yeah, they give it about 3 out of 5.
That's what we'll give it.
That's what we gave Force Unleashed, wasn't it?
Force Unleashed got it. We could actually write that review now, probably.
I think Empire review did. did it on a preview build or demo.
I think LucasArts is actually going to send me a review copy, so maybe we'll actually have one on
time.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I actually managed to get
a... How did you get that to work?
Well, I got a hold of them, and...
Wow!
They said... Okay.
I've emailed them and they don't like me.
I'll try to get an interview with them.
Who did you
email? Well,
yeah, I've emailed them countless times.
If you go to the
can't
LFN,
phone them up. Then.
If you go to the LFN admin forums, you'll see my thread where I was asking for help and getting a hold of them, and they said don't ever use the PR address. They do not ever listen to that.
Yeah,
and There was apparently a guy you could contact, and his email was listed on the actual product PDF for Staff of Kings.
Ooh.
And he got back to me in like an hour and he said sure. So there you go. So
that's pretty cool.
Wow, depends
on five.
Even if LucasArts doesn't like Mixin' Mojo, that guy at least does. So
well, hopefully you'll get it before the actual game, because I got promised Lego Indie as a review copy by one of the producers of the game itself from the developer. And he sent it to me after it came out.
If it doesn't come in by the release date, I will just buy it when it comes out, and whenever the review copy comes in, I'll give it to my little cousin or something. But I'll try to get a timely review up for the game. Or we can give it away in a competition, whatever. But Hopefully, because Mojo is in sort of a troubling trend where we're actually reviewing things on time. It's actually kind of frightening, but I think we should keep it up.
It is awful.
I did review that Valor's Grommet episode a week late, but that was because they sent me the copy 4 days before release, and I had no time to review it that weekend.
So, Staff of Kings.
Should we move on? Lego Indie 2? Do we want another indie one?
Anyone care? Were you the only one who played the first game, Chris?
Probably.
I've played
it. Oh, no, Gabriel, you have played the demo at least. Both did the preview.
I've played the demo. That's about it, though.
Wow. I played a demo as well, and I couldn't control him, so I deleted it. And that was that.
A review. Yeah.
Well, the only two things of interest about LEGO Indie 2 for me. One, it's not coming out on PS2, which I just thought was interesting. LucasArts finally abandoned it.
I mean, it's only been 400 years since the console came out.
I know. Yeah, Staff of Kings is coming out for it. It's even coming out for PC, but not PS2.
Yeah, that's true. It is coming out for PC. That's kind of weird.
Yeah. And the second thing is, in the same way that Barnett College was like the central hub world for or the last game, each film is going to have its own hub this time. And in an interview, they've said there are going to be 6 hubs with 5 levels each, even though there are only 4 films. So there's 2 mystery hubs with 5 with an extra 10 levels still to account for.
So you're thinking there will be new levels besides Crystal Skull?
Well, either Crystal Skull gets like 10 levels and maybe 5 levels for secret levels or something like that.
So maybe a Fate of Atlantis.
Or they do some. Yeah, or something else, something more interesting.
Maybe. Still, it's pretty amazing. There are no less than 2 LucasArts games that we're apathetic about at worst, so that's pretty unprecedented.
Yeah, well, actually, we're far worse to Brutal Legend than we are to Staff of Kings.
Well, that's you guys.
I'm more interested in Staff of Kings.
I'm incredibly excited about Brutal Legend, but whatever, man.
What? Well, should we get onto Monkey Island then? As in Monkey Island 1 Special Edition for the Xbox?
Yeah, I don't know what to think of that. Well, first of all, I don't know what LucasArts' definition of a re-release is. And although this
you know what their definition
real,
of a special edition is?
Yeah, I know this seems
extra Jabba the Hutt.
Because I trust adventure gamers. Because they usually don't tend to publish things that aren't real, but it's worth noting that there's been no official confirmation of this yet. I'm guessing it's true, though. I'm guessing it's more true than any speculation about, you know, Telltale making a Monkey Island series. But I'm hoping that any Monkey Island 1 special edition will be for more than the Live Arcade.
Xbox, yeah, I can't
even
imagine
that. So what
was
the source for the special edition, wasn't it? Just a USK website saying that they raided the game and then they removed it again.
Yeah.
Did they have but Adventure Gamers but also claim to have a source that also confirmed this. It was more than the ratings site that claimed that this existed.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
That's very vague, though. They could be just be saying they had a source to seem important or whatever. I mean, I could do that.
Yeah.
But that's the source, though.
You should do that.
The ratings board interestingly enough, revealed the existence of Broken Sword for the Wii and DS last year, before pulling it down and saying, no, we made a mistake, and then it turned up like a month later.
Well, I just hope this is, like the Fate of Atlantis port, I just hope that this means that in the future LucasArts will be respecting their back catalog a little bit more than they have. I mean, even the baby steps they are taking here, hopefully it's a sign of more
and there's,
to come.
There's the rumor that they're reviving an old license as well. I can't remember who said that.
True, but a Monkey Island 1 re-release would fall under that too.
Yeah.
That
so
could
that
be
leads
all that
credence to it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
as well.
It's always fun to speculate, but.
Or McKernan 5!
Yeah.
Main Mission 3!
It would be hilarious
five.
If Monkey Island 5 was announced, because then it would be competing with Ghost Pirates. It'd be funny to see a Monkey Island 5 competing with Ghost Pirates, like the people who made Monkey Island 3 are making a Monkey Island 5 in all but name, and then it has to compete with the real Monkey Island 5. Anyway, that'd be funny.
Ghost Pirates wins.
Yeah.
So what about Modern
Warfare? Predict that now. Oh god. Is that even coming out in English anymore?
Oh, Mata Hari?
Yeah.
Yeah, the English release. I mean, what happened?
Supposedly the Italian version has English in it, so it is done.
The North American release...
Yeah, the recordings are done.
...is in limbo, apparently, but the Italian
version... the English one.
...has English voices, but there is no version with both English voices and English subtitles.
Yeah. It's out in Norway, isn't it?
But it's very easy to play, because almost everything is read out loud, so you don't need to know that much Italian to know, to be able to play the game.
Okay.
Oh, you played it?
The only thing in Italian is basically the description of the puzzle, so you have to guess at what you're supposed to do in the minigames. Like the dancing and that thing.
I just think it's funny that the game was written in English by two Americans for a German publisher, and the English localization is never coming out.
Yeah, not even in England either. We haven't got it. But to be fair, the reviews haven't been complimentary.
Still, I would like to play it. I mean, it is a game made by Hal Barwood and Noah Falstein, or
written supposedly by made.
I think they were. I mean, I don't know how exaggerated it was, but I read that it was pretty much designed and written by them too. Like somebody at the German publisher had the idea to make this game, and they basically just hired Noah and Hal to do all the actual creative stuff. At least that's my impression. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
The story is not that good. It's more likely a bunch of missions stringed together, and they happen. The first one happens about 1906, and the next in 1912. So there's not much character development or anything like that. It feels a bit disconnected from everything that happens in the world at that time, and it's completely away from the actual reality. Like the Germans have a big cannon that they have to stop being built or whatever, and there's no. And well, when you actually get to set the charge or whatever, so it blows up, it just shows you a newspaper that's been blown up. You don't actually get to see the cutscene itself, so it's not much of a reward when you play it. So that makes it a bit boring.
Wow, we're not going to find out anyway. So
I was going to say, I didn't expect it to be an historically accurate game. I knew it was going to be the kind of romanticized version of the character, but that's a different issue altogether if there's not a sense of reward. Huh. Well, at least one of us is playing.
Well, you get a newspaper heading that's shown on screen, like plane crashed or whatever, and then it fades out, and that's that. You're on the next mission.
Wouldn't it have been great if you could have seen this? Yeah.
So it feels like Xenogears Disc 2 or whatever, if anyone's played that. Like you're just reading on screen what's actually happening because they couldn't be ours to make a cutscene.
I can't imagine it had the biggest budget, but that's still pretty disappointing.
Yeah. Not really an in-game one.
So, what? Isn't LucasArts making another game? I say making, don't develop anything anymore, but...
There's Star Wars stuff, but do we really want to talk about that?
The Old Republic.
I mean...
Yeah.
I don't care about Old Republic, but I'm sure somebody here does.
I like to post news about it, but because you guys don't, so I get something to post about.
I mean, I like BioWare. I liked both Knights of the Old Republic games, but I think they've slightly bitten off more than they can chew just here. And I don't think they quite realise how much work an MMO needs. And they got Mass Effect and Dragon Age and not Old Republic and whatever handheld games.
I'm sure BioWare is going to deliver. I mean, BioWare is pretty dependable. For me, it's just I'm totally apathetic towards Star Wars games in general, and I just don't have the time for MMOs. I mean, I can't get into one anymore. I didn't even play WoW I mean, I knew it was a great game, but I also knew how much of a time sucker it would be. You have to invest in those things.
But there's a Clone War. There's a Clone Wars game as well.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Oh
boy. Is that internally developed? I forget.
No, that's Chrome Studios who did the last Clone Wars one, I think.
So LucasArts still is not developing anything internally since they canceled their own version of Staff of Kings, right?
Yeah, no, God. Yeah, I mean, pretty much.
Unless
they have got something
they
haven't told us.
I'm pretty sure they still handle the kind of conceptual stuff of some of their Star Wars games, but I don't know if they're working on anything beyond that themselves.
Well, if they are working on anything internally, it's probably going to be Force Unleashed 2. That was a success, and if they have got any internal development, it's going to be that.
But then they fired everybody.
I saw,
And then they cancelled Indiana Jones.
Right, well, I mean, LucasArts. Yeah.
I mean,
LucasArts is just one guy sitting in a shed crying into his beaker. That's what they're working on.
What I just find it interesting most about LucasArts is that the president, what's his name? Daryl Rodriguez. Was at EA and was slowly running it down to the ground. Now he's left, and EA has suddenly become a big success story, making all these wonderful original games that everyone likes, and publishing Brutal Legend.
Wait, he wasn't of EA, was he?
He's the president, I think, wasn't he? Or very, very high up. But the second he left and joined LucasArts, I can hear you googling there.
Yeah, I like that sound. The sound of googling.
I am definitely googling this.
Right, presume he's googling.
I'm sure he was very high up at EA if he wasn't the president or the CEO. But the second he left EA started becoming really good and interesting, and LucasArts suddenly dropped like a stone.
Can't find anything. And they fired. Apparently, though, Daniel Rodriguez is an American operatic tenor from New York City.
Good. Yeah. I knew it!
Talking of The Force Unleashed, I saw the novelization in a bookstore the other day. Ooh. I didn't realize there was one. It was quite exciting.
There's novelizations for anything else Star Wars. I mean, why not Force Unleashed?
There's a Staff of Kings one coming. That's already been done.
Yeah. I mean, that's true. There's no less than 30,000 expanded.
That's probably more
novels.
Exciting than the game itself, because it's by Rob McGregor, who did half of the proper novels for Indiana Jones. Yeah.
They do claim that they've been working on the story for Staff of Kings for years, whatever that means, but I'm pretty sure this is the same story that were going to use for the game like back in 2005 or whenever it was they originally announced it. I think it was always going to be about this. So, whatever that's worth. I'm sure it'll be good enough.
Well, I hope so.
What? The book or the game?
Both.
The game. Well, just the story in general for whatever. Yeah.
Right.
I mean,
I see.
It's not going to be a Pulitzer Prize worthy piece of literature, but hopefully it's at least a serviceable enough story to get us through the game.
It's odd that the book's been done for like a year and they're not releasing it alongside the game.
Yeah, it does make it sound like kind of every. It sounds like Staff of Kings has been in development just so long, and you know they've had the book written, they've had the low end ports, the third party ports, like kind of done. Everything was kind of being worked on and finished, except for the actual like showcase game that LucasArts was working on. And I have to wonder what were the reason they canceled it was. I mean, I'm sure it had a troubled development, just given how long it was in development. I mean, maybe it did have big problems, but considering they fired everyone who made
that's probably why they fired all their staff. That got to have something to do with it.
But do you think maybe there's just like an intention to just get rid of internal development? I mean, yes. Maybe the game was having problems, but it also could have just been like, you know what? Let's just get rid of everything.
I think they had it at a go. They thought Force Unleashed and Starfire Kings both took too long. We're making a lot more money being as a straight publisher. Sod it. Let's become a straight publisher.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, that's what it feels like.
So, but, was there any
always
reason?
Been threatening to do that, but...
So, was there any reason why Gboard left the company? Was there given any reason? Because I'm looking
internal
at the
news restructuring.
Wait, yeah, you're asking why Gboard left?
Yeah.
You're asking why he left? They made it sound like he was fired. He was let go.
Because I'm looking at an old EA thing, and it says he left EA LA because of personal reasons. So he's starting to wonder if there's a pattern there. That he's being fired because he's a personal asshole or something like that.
Well, I think there was some article that Gboard was basically pressured out by the suits.
Yeah.
Because as much as we loved to criticize Gboard, it sounded like
Think he was actually doing good.
He at least, I don't know about good, but he was at least trying to preserve and build internal development at the studio, and it sounded like there were forces above him that just liked the idea of the company being, you know, a licensor, because they could just make money with no risk that way. I mean, I'm not saying Gboard's ideas were particularly creative. I mean, he did Thrillville and Mercenaries. They weren't exactly innovative games, but it sounds like he was at least trying to rebuild LucasArts as a legitimate developer. And he was kind of shown the door for that. That's what it sounds like, anyway.
Well, Mercenaries was a good choice. It wasn't that spectacular a game, but it sold well. But then they didn't publish the sequel. They sold it off.
No, they didn't sell Mercenaries off. They lost the rights.
Okay.
Who was the developer again?
Pandemic, I think.
Yeah, Pandemic just shopped it to EA.
Battlefront.
They just chose to let EA publish it. In fact, LucasArts intended to publish Mercenaries 2, because Gboard would talk about how they were growing it into a franchise. And I think at some point, even Mercenaries 2, the domain name, was owned by LucasArts. And it sounds like they just got screwed out of the rights. And then they tried to make Fracture to kind of fill the gap.
Was that a bad choice?
Doesn't sound like Fracture was the messiah they were looking for. But
no,
I think that was the intent. To kind of a replacement for Mercenaries. But...
Yeah, you're probably right.
But in the first place, Mercenaries was something owned by EA in the first place, and they dropped it, and LucasArts picked it up, and then the sequel ended back at EA, so it kind of went full circle. And LucasArts just kind of got screwed. That's what it sounds like.
LucasArts got screwed. Yeah, I think that...
But,
Have that written down somewhere.
Yeah. Whatever the supposed announcement is, this rumored announcement that LucasArts is making, as far as I'm concerned, that's the most exciting thing about E3 for me. And that's given the fact that there's a lot of exciting stuff going on for Mojo-relevant games this year. There's a surprising amount of stuff going on, really. I mean, there's a million adventure games being made. It's actually kind of exciting, but I'm really interested to see what this supposed LucasArts announcement will be. If it's going to be this Monkey Island re-release, if they are going to make a new game, it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, that and the Telltale one.
Yes.
Despite my pessimism, I am interested in seeing what it's going to be.
I mean, isn't EA tomorrow? Start tomorrow? We'll find out in a few days, I guess.
It starts on Tuesday, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, this also might be a good time to point out that even though Mojo will have no representation at E3, I don't think we did for many years, apparently someone on the LFN who's going for other reasons is going to pay attention to the Mojo-relevant games for us and perhaps write something up. So
he's going to do an interview with Telltale people for us. So
yeah, we might get something out of it. Yeah, we might be getting a Mojo E3 coverage, just not written by Mojo, but we'll see.
That's good.
The closest we can get.
You not going, Jason?
No, I mean, unless you want to pay for the plane ticket, I'm sticking
well,
around.
Well, you're closer than we are.
Yeah, I mean, not a big traveler. All of our Mojoers, all the former Mojo people who are actually native to California, all work for video game companies now, so they're no help anymore.
Tobacco doesn't
don't
anymore,
interview
so...
Their... dead to us.
Don't interview their own for us. Naming no names. Should we start to wrap up now?
Who? Name some names. What?
Not naming some names.
Oh, do name some names. That sounds like fun. Like Jake. Oh, don't get me started on Jake.
Hey, what's the big idea, you jerk?
Jake could tell us so much if he could only be bothered. There's so many at Telltale. We've got like half of Telltale works for us.
Pretty much. They wouldn't tell us anything. I think it's fair to say that 60% of Mojo's staff, like, of all the year, like, if you account all the years of Mojo's existence, I think like 60% of the people who've ever been a staffer on Mojo are now employed by Telltale Games.
Yep.
There's Jake. There's,
I wonder what the next generation
David
will do.
Eggers. There's Tellarium.
Yep.
Doug, I don't think Doug works there anymore.
Tellarium and
Doug
Langley.
Worked for Mojo Langley. At some point.
Tobacco. Yep, Doug. Is he still there? Isn't he?
No, I think he recently left.
Who did you say was fired?
He had a big leaving thread on the forums and stuff. You could say goodbye to him if you wanted to.
Oh, well, that's quite sad. I'll have a look at that. I wonder why he did that.
Well, I think he found a new job.
I'm being nosy now. I'm going to Google this. let's go and do this now.
Tobacco went. Dog went to a DNS thing or something. He posted a URL.
Have
so.
We covered
DNS?
Have we covered all the games though?
Pretty
we talked
much.
About Telltale already, but Sam and Max Season 3, they're saying that Telltale was saying that they're pretty much going to adapt their Wallace and Gromit interface, the gameplay mechanic, to all of their future series. So there are already people whining about.
Do they?
Yeah.
I hope not. God.
You don't like the Wallace and Gromit interface?
No. Well, it works. I suppose it works for Xbox, but it certainly doesn't work on PC.
I think it works fine for PC. What's that?
Were they talking about adapting the game engine update, not the control mechanic itself? I mean, the control mechanic is born out of the fact that you don't see the floor in every scene, so you can't have direct control with the mouse. But you can do that in 7X because the cameras are different.
Yeah, but I think that's what I'm saying. I think the next Sam & Max is going to be like the composition of it is going to be closer to Wallace and Gromit. At least that's the impression I got, that they were going to kind of continue this direct control mechanic. I don't mind it at all. It's sort of like it's kind of got the cinematic presentation of Grim Fandango, but it's not quite as clunky, because it's still a point and click game, but you just move around with direct control. But as far as interacting with the environment, it's still point and click. The only difference is you use the keys to actually move around.
Yeah, well, it feels odd on PC.
I didn't have that much problem with it once I hooked up the Xbox gamepad, but it wasn't that comfortable on the keyboard. I thought.
I found the keyboard mouse control was actually more. I have a PC gamepad, and I don't know. I was more comfortable with the keyboard, but that was one of the things. Telltale, there's a lot of different ways to play the game. I think there's like at least three different control schemes for it. But I personally,
I think that they should have published the keyboard layout when they published the game, and not a month after, so you had to guess what the keys were.
But you guys didn't find the controls intuitive?
I don't like having the shift key for inventory for a start. That just feels odd to me. Why can't it just be right mouse button?
Well, some weird European games did that in the 90s, I think. They had this alternative control thing, but never caught on.
Yeah, that's why. It's rubbish. Yeah, I'd just feel. I'd have like, put it on the right mouse button. That would be normal.
You're talking about the inventory key.
Yeah, it just feels odd being a shift key rather than right mouse button. You're
but
left clicking all
like,
the time, but you don't.
But as far as like moving the character, you don't have a problem with that.
Well, still odd. Odd. I've got you get used to it, but I prefer normal mouse control.
Okay. I was just interested in hearing everyone's opinions on that. I like the way that they're more free to kind of compose their shots, kind of as if it was a movie.
Because it looks better.
It looks better. I don't know.
I don't mind as long as I can use the gamepad.
Well, it depends if it comes to Xbox or not. Well, they've done Wii and Xbox, so it might be on PS3 for all we know.
But you really think that the fact that it was also on console was the sole reason they changed up the mechanic?
Yes.
Because Grim Fandango kind of had that, it used keyboard control, and it was obviously so that they could, you know, do all these 3D movie-like camera angles in 3D. I mean, that was never on a console. It was a PC-exclusive game. And obviously the intentions, whether misguided or not, the intentions were obviously to make the game more...
I think they have to try something different more than...
If you read the actual Telltale forums, you will see that they have continually denied that it was because of the Xbox release that they changed the controls. It was simply because of the cameras. A lot of the designers have gone on record and said that.
Possibly. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I'm more inclined to believe them than anything LucasArts says. See, if it had been LucasArts that said that, I would have said, bollocks.
But I guess
I'll take.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be interested to see a Sam & Max season with those, with that kind of, control. I mean, I'd be interested to see how it works out, because, I mean... The Sam and Max episodes were, you know, they did some very cinematic things in them, but they were kind of reserved for the non-interactive parts. You know, most of the actual gameplay camera angles were just kind of these wide shots so you could see everything, and they would occasionally maybe cut to a different view, but otherwise it was basically just classic adventure game, big wide shot. And it seems like it's not as restrictive. Sorry?
We reached 90 minutes.
Hey. Well, we'll start to wrap up now. But I prefer the Sam & Max season 1 and 2 to Wallace and Gromit style.
So I prefer Bone. Oh, sorry. What are we talking about? I do actually quite like Bone. I'm reading it at the moment. It's very good.
It is very good.
I just finished Sandman as well. Has anyone read Sandman?
No,
slightly off topic. But
you've never read the Bone.
No, it's really good.
You've never read the Bone comics before, Gavin?
No, I'm just. Well, I've been. I Telltale gave me some actually a few years ago, and then I've slowly been collecting them, getting the coloured versions.
Oh,
They're really nice. Really nicely coloured.
The comics are great. I'd really like to see.
The games are good as well.
I'd like to see that series get continued someday.
I think everyone would.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it won't, let's be honest.
Yeah, they never quite revealed why, but we assume it's rights issues.
No, well, I mean, it's partly logistics, I think. Pretty difficult to make games of the other ones, I think.
That is true. I mean, the first two just about goes to it, but then it gets really sort of cinematic and epic and quite dark, actually, in places.
If there's a reason, they should have thought of that before starting with the first game instead of
Instead
of fuck it and not then, doing it anymore.
Wait a minute. We can't actually make games of these. Let's do something else.
Yeah. Oh well. Never mind.
Yeah. Never mind.
We've got two pretty good games out of it.
But yeah,
and there are more important things to worry about.
I'm with
about,
Gabez, and that warming and I really like the Bone games a lot. I think it's. I think if they ever complete it, it really has the potential to be like just a really great cult adventure game. If they could ever finish the story, because Bone is a great story, and I think the first two games they put out showed a lot of promise, especially the second one. And I just really wanted to see how they would have handled the later books, where it gets even better, a little bit less comedic, a little bit darker. You know, to me, the middle of the comic book, the comic series, is where it's at its best, and it's like Telltale's games kind of stop when the story's really starting to cook up. So I would like to see them finish it. I mean, I don't know what manner they would have to do it, but whatever it takes, I'd really like to see them finish what they started.
Yep. Should we go now? Have we finished?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, we've got to end it at some point. Right. Or are we going to do this for all eternity?
Well, we're not going to do this for all eternity. It feels we're like just we going
to
stop.
No, I think we've got to the end now.
Okay. So.
Right. Okay, well, thank you, everyone. What do I do now? How do I stop
Log
this?
Off, Gavis. Log off.
Or do I have to keep on going?
Okay. Bye-bye, all. Oh.
Okay.